time. It's Magic Hour with Meg and Mel. What's up? What's up?
What's up?
Hey.
It's been a week. How are you?
I'm here.
Good. I like that about you. And I like that for me. That you're here.
I'm here.
Makes me happy.
Thank you. It's good to be here. It makes me happy to be here too.
Are you all good with that chair? I feel like you sit in that queen's chair, but is it comfortable enough?
Yeah, it is actually quite comfortable. I mean, I like having like a stable bottom.
Oh, yeah.
You know, always looking for that stable bottom.
If you were a gay man, a stable bottom would be something totally
different. Oh, yeah, I know. That's why I said it. Because there's a part of me that in a former life was probably a gay man. So I know all about that.
I feel like in my next life, please make me a gay man.
Oh, my God.
They're having way more fun than any of us. I'm just going to say that.
You think so?
I think it's harder for gay men when they're kids.
Yeah.
Because they can't, especially obvious gay men.
Yeah.
I don't think they can hide it as well as, like, let's say me growing up as a gay woman.
Yeah.
However, I think once they get older, if they're into the scene and this and that and the other thing, I do think the majority of them are having way more fun.
Yeah. They do seem to be kind of running shit in some ways.
Well, good for them.
Yep, good for them. But you know what? We never know what's going on behind closed doors or what's going on in between people's ears.
That's true. I'm sure there's a lot. Like, I know that I have a nephew who is gay. He's a gay man. Mm-hmm. And he is monogamous. And he has a lot of trouble finding partners who are willing to be monogamous with him.
Hey, I mean, you should just welcome to the club, dude. Monogamy, you know, it's so funny you say that because, you know, I was all about monogamy. I mean, that's what my parents did. That's what I was raised to believe was the ideal. But honestly, nowadays, I'm thinking like monogamy may not be where it's at.
Yeah, I can definitely. I've been in a polyamorous relationship before. I wasn't really in love with either person, so it was fine for me. I didn't feel like jealous or anything. I was like, good for you, blah, blah, blah. But do I think that, I mean, Esther Perel, I mean, wrote a book called Mating in Captivity about how like an affair could actually like save your marriage. And like sleeping with somebody every once in a while can like, you know, save your marriage. I don't know that I disagree.
I don't know if I disagree either. I mean, I was in a threesome once. And I remember thinking, oh, no, three. It's like a tricycle. You know, someone's always left out.
How does this work?
Yeah.
How does it work? But was it good or?
Oh, girl, I can't even remember. Okay, I mean, we never talk about it anymore. Yeah. But, you know, I always had this idea that someone was always left out, you know, and now that I'm a little older and I'm like, hey, it's okay to be left out sometimes, you know.
Sometimes people like to watch.
I mean,
whatever floats your boat.
Whatever floats your boat. All I know is that a lot of stars have to align for you to want to tether your life and your body and your soul to one person. And for those who've been willing to do it, that's fantastic. Do I think I have the capability of doing that anymore? I don't know. I mean,
And I think that's okay. And I think that brings us into sort of the topic that we wanted to talk about, which is our missions, like what we seek and how we have to pivot those things that we seek sometimes.
Yeah.
As we get more information, more wisdom.
Yeah.
I know for me in my life, I've definitely pivoted my career quite a bit. My ego, man, just like drives me. And for so long, I wanted to make like so much money. And it was all about money, 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 money. And then I finally get to a place where, you know, made money. And I worked for celebrities and everything was, you know, I'm like, oh, this is awesome. I'm so great. I'm so cool. Blah, 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 blah. And like, I noticed my thoughts were changing into a person that I didn't like. And I was becoming a person that I didn't like. I felt like I just had to keep keeping up with the next newest thing, the celebrity culture, the butt kissing, the this, the that, the other thing. I left that job and I took like a $60,000 pay cut. That was freaking hard.
I can't imagine. I really can't because I've never made that much money ever. God. I know what it's like to pivot. I've always been a very feely person, as much as I didn't want to admit or acknowledge that I'm pretty much run by my feelings.
Mm.
And so I would get involved with jobs, think that I'm on a career path, and then it not feel right and feel myself changing or turning into something or adopting habits that don't make me feel very good.
Mm-hmm.
And so those feelings are so strong in the thoughts that accompany them. I change. I do something different. That's why I've had so many careers. I was a personal assistant to a philanthropist in New Jersey.
That's so cool.
It was really amazing. I loved it. And then I got a boyfriend. Mm-hmm. And, I realized that my job could end and I wouldn't have any safeguards. So then I tried to go into the corporate world and that didn't work for me. And then I went back into yoga and then COVID happened. And then I went back into like this pseudo corporate world and then that didn't work. And then for an entrepreneur and then that didn't work. And then I was like, okay, you just got to work for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So the pivoting is like huge, And luckily for me, I haven't had to really direct my pivoting. I've literally said to the universe, okay, I'm ready for the next gig. What am I supposed to do now?
Yeah.
What am I supposed to do now? And they show me exactly where I'm supposed to go. But, now that I feel like I'm in the place I'm supposed to be, there are little micro pivots I have to make, which, we discussed a little while ago, micro pivots. And, it's all of the plateaus mean something. And it's all angling up to like the grander, greater scheme of things. It's just a lot of work, a lot of feeling.
Your micro pivots are you refining what you want. It's like you're creating your own David. You're chipping away at that marble.
Oh God. Yeah. Okay. I'm like, excuse me. my husband, soon to be ex's name is David. I'm like,
no.
What?
Not that David.
Yeah. I am chipping away at the marble. But I always take it back to like the fundamentals of being like a sculptor. You're chipping away at marble and you're getting little pieces of stone embedded in your fingers.
Oh, yeah.
And you're bleeding and, you're chewing on dirt and stone. It's in your mouth. It's in your hair. It's in your eyes. Sometimes you're like, what the hell am I doing? Why am I chipping away at this rock when I should be selling cabbages for money? Or something,
selling cabinets.
I don't know. Selling something where I have the instant gratification of earning. That's an airbender. That's the last airbender kind of nod.
Mm.
So in the last airbender, there's this reoccurring joke with this guy who sells cabbages and somebody always destroys or upsets his cabbage cart. And so they're trying to save the world and they keep running into this cabbage guy. And he's just like, yo, I know the world's in danger, but damn it, I'm just trying to sell some cabbages.
Oh my God, I love that.
When I'm trying to pivot, it's always uncomfortable. Or when a pivot is occurring or showing up, it's always uncomfortable. It's always scary. But I know it's actually another touchstone for growth. It means I'm doing more growing.
Oh, growing can be so painful too.
Yeah, I agree. Do we want to talk about Hong Kong?
Well,
I want to keep talking about pivoting because...
Well, we can talk about...
I'm getting fucking dizzy with all the fucking pivots. All right, pivots.
Let's just talk and we'll try to like... Maybe something we can try to do is like, we know that this is kind of like our theme. We'll have just a normal conversation because I think we do really well with just a normal conversation.
Yeah.
And we ebb and flow.
I think that's where we're trying to figure out.
Is yeah.
Like, do we have a theme? Do we have a normal conversation? Like how to meld those two, because we want it to be kind of flowy, like a theme, but not
Yeah. But like when I listened to the podcast last time, I just came up with a theme and I'm like, this kind of works.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? That's so that's fine.
That's
okay,
what
cool.
I thought you were doing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, then let's just do that. If that feels right to us and we just have like a topic in mind, like something I have on my mind, it's hard though, because what I notice is that I'll come up with something I want to talk about on a Monday or a Tuesday. Mm-hmm. And then by today, my life is like, it's a different life.
Girl, who you telling?
All right. So I almost feel like,
You were talking to me about what do we do about rage? And so,
yeah, what do we do about rage? Like, I almost have to pivot this conversation because it's like, you know, pivoting. Oh my God. Do you want to undo this? Pivot.
I'm fucking dizzy with the pivot.
Oh my God. Yeah. Okay. So
now I can't even hear myself in here.
Oh, that's sorry, because it's here.
Okay.
Can you hear better?
No, I
can't. Can you hear?
I can hear you. I can't really hear me.
You can't hear you?
Like a little bit, but not the way I was hearing me.
Well, because it was too hot before.
Oh, okay.
But can you hear me? Can you hear? Should I turn it up all the way? Now talk.
Now, yeah. No, it sounds, I hear the echo in the room. I feel like.
Oh, I can't hear you.
Yeah, my mic
all.
Isn't in.
Your mic's not on.
Yeah. That's way too high. High in the ears.
What the fuck happened to your mic?
I don't know.
I don't like this. Now it's too
hello,
high.
Hello? Yeah, mic's out.
How? What do we do? I don't have extra things. I just got these.
What could have happened? Do the mics need to charge?
Here it is.
It's like we can't hear you unless you're hotter.
Well,
talk.
Now I can hear myself through the mic.
But you can't when I go there, right?
No, I can still hear it now. Yeah.
How about now?
Yeah, now. Yeah. It's like you turned it back on.
Oh, it didn't maybe have enough power or something like that. I'm still getting.
So if you turn that down, it feels like that's ears, but this is mic.
No, this is mic, but this was on.
Oh.
It was just lower. And then I turned it on. Maybe it wasn't getting enough power. And you can. Here.
Yeah.
And then this, you can just. Okay. This.
Growing. Learning.
Okay.
We're figuring all this shit out. We don't know. We're gonna be experts. I set this thing up in like no time.
Yeah, we're gonna be experts.
Can you hear yourself?
A little bit. Yeah. Okay, yeah, cool. I can hear myself now. It still sounds a little weird. Like I hear the room more than I hear the isolation.
Maybe it doesn't give enough power at that low.
Maybe it doesn't.
That worries me.
Okay. That's better.
I think we should just keep it here. And if you're a little hot, I'll try my best to just tone it down.
Yeah.
For now, anyway.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah. And maybe I was backing way. I don't know.
You have to be like up on
the
mic.
I know.
Light.
I have to be like
up
all the way
light.
Up here.
Back it up. So, Melanie, I heard that you went to a concert.
Oh, my God.
Called Schism. Tell us about it, Mel.
Dude. So I was sick last week and I'm like, oh, should I go? Should I not go? Hemming and hawing about the whole damn thing. And then I ended up going and I was going alone and I walk in and I'm like the only black person in the whole place. And I like walk up to the front of the front right by the stage. And everybody's kind of like looking at me, like whatever. And then they start playing and I'm rocking out. And then everybody is trying to come up and dance with me. Oh, everybody's trying to come up and rock with me.
That's so cool.
After the concert.
You're like the celebrity.
I kind of like am at some of these concerts. Everyone's coming up to me afterwards like, oh my God, you knew all the words. Oh my God, you didn't stop. Oh my God, you made this concert so fun. Yeah, it's like kind of crazy. It's amazing. And then it's so funny because we were talking about, oh yeah, Perfect Circle, if only they could tour again. And I sent you something on Facebook.
I'm gonna go to I'm going to Asbury Park to see Start Making Sense, which is a David Byrne Talking Heads cover band. Oh, for my friend's birthday.
It's the same day.
It's the same day.
Dude, because Perfect Circle, Pussifer, and something called Sistenta is playing. I'm like, what the fuck?
It's my friend's birthday unless I would cancel and just like whatever about the ticket.
Yeah.
I know. I wish.
But I looked at the ticket prices. Ticket prices nowadays are just ludicrous.
Oh my God. They rob you.
It was like $200 for a ticket.
I mean, I know it takes a lot to go into the concert, and it's not just about the band. It's about like the people setting up and the lighting people. God. And this and that, and then like
the security, the insurance,
it takes a lot to put on a show.
Yeah, and if you've ever run events, then you're aware. But still, I'm just like, damn.
Well, I have to ask. I hope you don't mind me asking this, but like, what does it feel like to be the only Black person in space? Is that a heated question? Like, do you care about me asking that question?
Listen, I'm trying not to be too hot here. You just keep surprising me with like.
I mean, I'm curious because it's like, I don't know what it feels like to be the only Black person in space.
R-O-S-L. On the floor laughing.
It's an experience I know not from.
What's it like being the only Black person in the space? Yeah, for a long time, it was very lonely. A lot of self-consciousness, a lot of doubt that you're even supposed to be in the space.
Hmm.
A lot of fear that nobody else wants you there. People, you know, questioning your validity, your worth. And unfortunately for me, that stuff doesn't go away.
Mm-hmm.
Luckily, I have other tools. I have other things. You know, I can remember that, wait, I bought a ticket, so I can go in here.
Yeah.
You know? I remember that people don't know my heart and they, you know, I can give them an opportunity to transcend their stereotypes I can give them an opportunity to confirm their stereotypes as true. I know that I am breaking a lot of cycles because I spend a lot of my time being the only Black person in the room. It's actually something that that I've grown up with practically every waking minute of my day.
Wow.
Being the only Black person, Black woman in the room. And there's always a kernel of fear, you know, irrational and rational. And I always have to be strong, which is hard because there is this idea that, you know, you're strong Black woman, you know, strong woman, strong human. And it means really having courage and facing your fears and trying to live the best way you know how, being your truest self, regardless of what's going on around you. And sometimes it's exhausting and scary and heartbreaking. And it brings me so much joy when I can push it aside and still be myself and people still want to be with that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's tough. It's tough, especially when you know people are questioning your worth or your validity.
Like, do you ever get do you feel like that? Like, if you're in a store or something, because you know what I mean. Like,
well, it depends on the store.
Stereotypes,
profiling. Yeah,
I know stores got caught racially profiling Black women.
Like, you know, the whole pretty woman scene. Oh, yeah, big mistake. Usually they're right. I'm too broke to buy anything. But, you know, there were times when I'm not. So, like, you know, that type of stuff I ignore.
Yeah.
Like, it's easier to ignore that type of stuff. Like, if I go into, like, say, a store, and a Coach isn't even high end. Like, it is for some people. But, you know, like, you know, it doesn't take much for someone to kind of feel like they're superior than you.
It doesn't take much at all.
No. So, yeah, I can go into a store and they can, you know, I don't even notice it, to tell you the truth, because I've been in retail. I know people steal white, Black, anything, you know.
Doesn't matter what color you are.
Doesn't matter what color you are.
Everybody steals.
And it's like, it's a fucking store. And I know that I'm not going in there to try to catch any charges. So that stuff doesn't bother me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Not nearly as much.
As like, okay, well, I love this band.
Yeah.
And I'm in this space now. And like.
Yeah.
There's nobody around me who looks like me.
Yeah. Or nobody around me who wants to like party with me. Like, I gotta like prove that I'm worth partying.
So do you feel like it's almost performative when you start it up? Like,
no, because I'm losing myself into what really matters. That's like when the music starts, when the songs start, that's what really matters.
Yeah.
But being the Black woman in the room and guys don't talk to you. Like, so you feel like you're just on display. Like, you know, I'm not really single now, but I am single now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, men.
You're open to flirting with
somebody. I'm open to flirting. Nobody flirts with me. Actually, that's probably not true. But, you know, I notice, though, when I go to shows, they have to be several drinks in before they come up to me and start talking to me.
Maybe they're intimidated.
I've gotten that a lot. Where people are intimidated.
Well, they have that stereotype of, like you were saying, like strong black woman, maybe.
Or angry black woman or crazy black woman. I don't know what it is. Oh, but I mean, I know in general that, you know, men can be very intimidated by women. But, you know, and I can think about it, like I'm not there with any other girls. I'm there by myself. I'm not drinking.
I also feel like unless older people don't mind as much, but I do feel like there is something to going somewhere alone where people don't want to talk to you if you're alone. Like there's something uncomfortable to people or.
Yeah. Nobody really likes being alone. Yeah. And then when they see somebody okay with being alone.
I like going to the movie theater alone, but that's like one of the only things. Well, and I like hiking and walking, but like going to a concert, I've done it. But I don't love it. I don't think my experiences have been as good alone. You want to feel it with people, like especially music. I feel like is a great communal experience.
It is. And it turns into that.
Yeah.
I mean, because I'm willing to have it turn into that. And I'm the type of person that's like, hey, come on. What do you have to lose?
Yeah.
But.
Yeah. You like, and then you say things to me, too, like you. Where you say them out loud and I'm just in the room hearing you and you say like, oh, I'll let spirit take care of that or I'll let this guide me or whatever. And I really admire that because actually it's rubbed off a little on me. You know, I had a little bit of an ego hissy fit inside myself the last couple of days. And I'm like, look, I got to a point with myself where I'm like, I'm going to have to just give it over.
Yeah.
To spirit, higher power, whoever. Like, it's not mine to decide at this point now.
Yeah.
So whatever is meant to be is going to happen.
Yeah. The problem is always remembering that.
And it'll bring me to the place I need to go.
Exactly.
So.
Because we spoke earlier this week and I had no idea that I was actually in a spiral. It was more than what we were talking about. I was just in this kind of emotional, physical, energetic spiral. And I was trying to be productive and to figure things out and to make sure I was showing up as my best self all the time, doing, you know, just being very turned on and tuned in. And I just burned myself out. And not until yesterday, I was talking to somebody and it was like, wait a minute, this is when I'm supposed to surrender. And they were like, no, surrender, blah, blah, blah. I was like, oh, wait a minute. Words are magic. People don't like that word. So I have to allow. And so I've been using that word when talking to lay people. Mm-hmm. I have to allow. I have to stop fighting. And luckily this morning.
Go with the current. Go with the flow.
Yeah. This friend of mine, she did like some healing on me because I needed it. And it was like, she was like, you don't have to fight anymore. And, you know, I've been in a fight or flight situation for several months now. So, like, it was just nice to be reminded that I don't need to fight.
You're talking about fight or flight. And this is why I'm always like, okay, well, are you moving to Highland Park yet? Are you moving this place yet? Are you moving that place yet? And you're like, well, no, the pool. And I'm going to enjoy it. Yeah. It's like your day to day, Mel. This is what I worry about, is in a space where you know you're going to have to leave, that you don't want to be in with those with people, but you're comfortable enough to just stay there. I feel like it gets to you.
It does. It really, really does. I've been minimizing it.
Yeah.
I've been minimizing it.
There's pools everywhere. You know what I mean? Like, we could go to the beach. Do you like the ocean?
I sometimes am the last to realize that I've been minimizing how difficult it is.
I think that's human nature.
And it's been a defense mechanism because I wake up, I pack a bag, I go, and I run, and I drive. And I've been eating like a Dunkin' Donuts sandwich and drinking a large coffee That's it, like all day. And then I come home, it's like 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, I go to sleep. Or I go to the clubhouse and I make a video and I try to write and I do this stuff. And then it's 2 a.m. and I go to sleep and I wake up again, I pack the bag and I head out. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to be home. I don't want to cook in my house. I don't want to talk to my plants in my house, especially when other people are around. And it's wearing on me. It is. It's wearing on me big time. And my friend was like, you know, Melanie, you're in crisis mode. And I'm like, is that what this is?
I think about it and I talk to you and I can feel your presence when you're around me, which is probably why
you're psychic.
I've always liked you and I feel like really comfortable around you. Like I feel like I can feel you without you even opening your mouth, right? And I think like, wow, this person is so amazing and you have such an amazing presence about you, and like your aura and your spirit brings good and positivity into the space that you're in. Mm-hmm. Like that's what you bring to a space. Goodness, warmth, love, growth, you know, openness. And you every day are in a space that you can't, like, I don't know how you even damper that down. Like,
that's intrinsic to you. I don't get any of that back.
And I just am like, please, you know, move sooner than later if you can.
You're the second person to say that to me today. And
oh, I got to pull a tarot card for you now.
So I did say that I was going to wait until like May to start looking, because then I'm getting like, because then it'll be like something that I start obsessing over. And I don't really want to obsess about that stuff right now. But I did concede and say maybe I'll start looking more earnestly in April. Something happened financially this week that was not so good.
Oh, and that's what always fucks it up, though.
And I was trying to build the money to move. And
you needed to spend it?
Not necessarily.
Okay.
I'm not ready to talk about that. That's on okay. The podcast.
No,
we'll
that's
talk
fine.
After.
Yeah, that's fine. But I totally understand.
I've talked about it a lot with people, because when you talk about your problems, it does make them lesser, but I'm not ready to memorialize that shit yet.
Yeah.
It was a big, uh-oh. Yeah, well, you fucked up.
And hey, don't we fuck up all the time? I feel
we
like
do.
You're supposed to shuffle these.
Okay. They're telling me to keep shuffling till something jumps. So that's the way you do it.
Okay, let's see it.
So it's a three of staves, which I think
wands,
it's
wands, right?
These are wands, staves, yeah, the staffs.
Yeah,
three of staffs.
I forget what wands represent, but I know it's not money. The pentacles represent money.
Pentacles is money.
Is that so emotions?
This is typically what I've learned. Staves, the staffs, are obstacles. Like you've got like three choices, three obstacles, three things. You know, their resources, their obstacles. It's really about, you know, what you choose to focus on. And here it is. You have your back turned to two of them and you're holding on to one of them. And I mean, you read it. You tell me what's going on with it. Well, and then King of Pentacles is on the flip.
That's very interesting.
So I shouldn't really, really worry, but it is going to be a guiding force.
But it's
force.
On your mind.
So those
business,
are
trade,
ones.
Commerce, strength, cooperations, assistant, good advice, discovery. You have recently made some decisions in business that will bear positive fruit. This situation involved much cooperation from others.
Okay.
If you wish to continue to succeed in your venture, you should continue to nurture those business relationships. Listen carefully to any advice given to you. It will be worth your while, particularly regarding finance. If somebody gave you advice today, this card will also signify that you will discover something new you were unaware of, a personal discovery that heralds good fortune.
That sounds pretty fucking awesome to me.
And then wait, I got to look at the King of Pentacles now, even though you didn't pull that one.
No, but you actively choose to look at one.
Then it's like,
yeah.
You got to read it now.
Yeah.
Okay. The King of Pentacles. I do like the flowers on his head. A banker, a landowner, a married man, temperate, reliable, a scientist or mathematician. Slow to anger and very patient. This card represents someone you can rely upon. He is loyal and trustworthy. A man who thinks before he acts. successful with money, he is capable of amassing great wealth and power. As a worker, he perseveres when others fail. He is Mr. Practical, always ingenious and full of energy. But he may seem boring to others. This man loves to take things apart and repair broken items. Hence, he would make a great mechanic. If he works in government or finance, he is definitely someone to befriend. As a professor at a university or college, he makes a great lecturer or teacher. If you are a woman and this card represents the man you marry, be warned, he will expect to control the purse strings. I think that last part, maybe.
Well, you know, David didn't control the purse strings. He had his own purse and I have my own purse.
Yeah.
And he wasn't very transparent about money at all.
Well, I wonder who that represents. Do you know anybody like that?
No, but I really hope someone really awesome like that is coming. Because, you know, like I'm a little bit running on empty.
Maybe it'll be some white dude at a concert.
Dude,
like,
please,
I was scared to talk to you.
Please, 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 please. Now I know I'm hot. I'm like, please, white dude at the concert, come and befriend me and nurture me and hug me and like rub my neck.
Oh yeah, hell yeah, rub my neck. That's nice for anybody to do. I love how like the cards are telling me. Like I would never know that. I would just be like, should I do it? Should I pull a card? And if I see a card that I don't like, I'm like, this is bullshit.
And then it shows up later in the week. You're like, oh fuck,
this is bullshit.
Yeah, that'd be great if somebody like that shows up in my life. I'm sure someone already has.
Did you get anyone's number at that concert?
No, nobody offers their number to me. Nobody asks me for girls do. They're like, oh, let me follow you on Snapchat. And I'm like, I don't have Snapchat. I have Instagram.
People have Snapchat here still?
Yeah, apparently there's been a resurgence of Snapchat. Yeah, because people
I know
like
that when I went to Ireland, people
messages.
Were like, do you have Snapchat? And I was like, no, I don't have Snapchat. Uh-oh.
What'd you get?
I spilled a cup. I've gotten this card in the past. It's the Eight of Cups.
What's it mean for you?
It means that I had to give up a pursuit, I think. And this might be my ego. Like, because I keep trying to pursue my ego and what my ego wants, and it doesn't work out for me. But I don't really know how to live my life without my ego sort of running myself. That's my journey.
Well, welcome.
Material gain, abandon, fruitless journeys, causeless misery, disappointment, and love. Oh, no. At first, this card may appear completely negative. It points out that you threw away advantages and success in your life, both materially and personally. It warns you to be prepared for disappointment in love. Okay. This could be because you are looking for something higher, something spiritual. Even though this may be your goal, do not throw away all you have achieved without careful thought. The journeys you take may not succeed in their purpose. What do you think about that?
I think that it's actually pretty positive for you. In that it's actually more about the energetic stuff, like, you know, like you're noticing how your ego is showing up. You're making decisions to not work from that place.
Trying.
And the disappointment is coming because it's not so easy. I mean, it's not easy and it's uncomfortable and it makes us cranky and scared. And that's the disappointing part. But in the end, you're going to enjoy it, feel good about it, but it's going to suck going down.
Well, I feel that. Like I had a hissy fit, I was telling you, and I'll spill my tea.
Go for it. Please. What'd you hissy fit about?
It's petty. Well, you know, I run a department at my job, mm-hmm. and there's this girl. This girl, she's a woman. She's a 30-year-old woman. I should call her what she is.
Mm-hmm.
I have been building her up and coaching her, and she's been doing great work, but she's not the kind of person who gives other people credit. I think things are going to go really well for her this year, and I want them to go really well for me, too, because I play a part in that, and I like to be behind the scenes, but I want recognition also. Like, I want the people who are in the know to know, like, I'm the person pulling the strings, doing the things, and that's my ego. You know what I mean? I want to be important by, like, being that number two.
No, you're actually the number one, and she's following you. You're guiding her.
So that's probably the first problem, is thinking that you are number two.
Well, I mean, number two in the way where, like, there's always that person behind the leader. Like, I know I'm a leader in this way, but, like, there's always the person who's, like, pulling the strings.
That's the leader. You are her boss, right? She's doing well because you're guiding her, you're mentoring her, you're giving her the opportunities to shine. Mm-hmm. That's what a good boss does. You're shaping the team.
I am shaping the team. And the team is working out really well. And actually, somebody said to me today, wow, we do great teamwork. And I just want everybody to recognize that it's me who's doing it. And people are just experiencing the benefits. And I don't like that about myself.
So that's totally normal. But one thing I think you might want to do is start using we.
I do use we.
And then you say my team. Do you use my team? Do you use that? Mm-mm. Start using my team. Start like claiming, and I'm not trying to make you into some sort of, or suggest being some sort of like megalomaniac. Take ownership of the team because you got those people underneath you, right? And you're guiding them.
Some
and
of
they're
them are
following.
Parallel. Some of them are like,
but,
it's, yeah.
But you're shaping the directive.
Yeah, I'm shaping
when
the
shit
directive.
Goes down,
no matter what, yeah.
When shit goes down, it's your ass on the line.
I think so, yeah.
So start saying, well, my team. And then when it's like, when you're sending out stuff to them and then it's like, okay, or something goes wrong, you can be like, don't worry, I'm going to take responsibility for this, guys, because I'm the team leader. Shift the dynamic where it's like, it is a team effort, but you're team leader. So using phrases like my team, my group, my number two, mm-hmm. you know, reinforce the structure of the team. And also, like, reward it for doing its job, its
yeah.
function.
I do try. When I got there, there wasn't a lot of structure with projects and how things worked and product development and whatnot. And now there is. And I really like how it's going. But I also want to be the kind of person who doesn't need the acknowledgement. But I do. I have that like rotted part of myself.
That's
Gollum
not
with
a
the
rotted.
Ring.
It's not.
Holding the fucking ring.
No, so what I'm also hearing is fear. Fear that people are going to not see that. Like if someone does well, then they might think that they're the boss and not you, and that you're not really doing all this extra stuff behind the scenes.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you kind of have to just start taking your credit.
Yeah, like I want to make sure that I'm going to be seen.
Then you have to be seen. Then you have to take credit. Be like, urge so-and-so to step up and say this, mm-hmm. you know, as team leader,
but
as a mentor.
But I do that. I like, I give people names of people. I give people ideas. You know, there's this sort of amnesia about like, oh, it was my idea. This person's idea, that idea. And I'm like, I know it was my idea. I wrote it down. I have it in my notes. I have it in my list.
So, you know what
I mean?
Like, as team leader, you say, wait a minute, this was a collaboration between you and me, remember?
Yeah.
So you have.
I have been trying to do that more. But yeah, it's.
Or just always bring it back to like. You know, thank you for pointing that out. But we, just so you know, Bob, this has been a collaboration from the very beginning.
Mm-hmm.
When I presented it to the team, it's a collaboration, you know?
Yeah, it's fair. But yeah, those are like, that's like an ugly part of myself that I.
It's not ugly.
I think it is.
Well, though. Why? Why do you need to think it's ugly?
Because I feel like it almost looks like Voldemort crying. At
really?
The end of Harry Potter when, like, he's that little rotted thing.
Voldemort?
Like,
really? He who shall not be named? Really? That's a piece inside you? You have a piece of he who shall not be named inside
yeah,
you?
Yeah, I think so.
No, hell to the motherfucking no. You may have, like, a little freaking, I don't know, like, Kublai Khan or somebody inside you, but not no Voldemort.
I don't know who that is. But
I don't know. Like Genghis Khan, like
okay,
a little
yeah,
bit
yeah.
like, yeah, 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 yeah. Well, not that.
Well,
no offense. No offense to anybody of that descent. And, you know, like a little
he
bit.
He took
of
over
a,
half the world. So we're all related to Genghis
exactly.
Khan.
Exactly. You know, you might have like that type of like thing in it, but not a Voldemort where you're willing to kill a child. For their
I'm
power.
I'm sure Genghis Khan killed a child.
Yeah, yeah, but not to suck the knowledge and power from them.
Yeah.
Like, you're not trying to like do that. You're just trying to create a land that's good for all of your people.
Yeah. And I just want to make sure that I'm being acknowledged, because ultimately I just like, I want to be the best. I want to be the most known. I want to do something in my career that people acknowledge me for, and I get tons of recognition for it. I know a lot of people feel like this, but I feel like I do things to like, and I think about other people in like a more judgmental way, and I'm always sizing myself up. And
so when are you going to be enough for you?
Oh, I wish I knew it even that.
Me too.
I can't really even like comprehend that. Like, my ex-girlfriend is a performer. Yeah, she's a performer. And one of the things she used to tell people is like, you are enough. And I'm like, I think that's bullshit, because I'm not enough for me. I don't know who decides you are enough, but it's a decision that happens internally. And I don't know how to decide that. Like, I decide I'm enough, but I don't feel it.
I don't think it happens internally first, at least for me. I think it's happening internally last. I feel as if, because of all this external evidence, mm-hmm. that something outside of me knows that I'm enough and knows that I'm awesome and amazing. Mm-hmm. And my outside, my insides hasn't caught up with it and doesn't stay up to date with it.
I try to be like, oh, I'm glad about this of myself, or I try to be positive with myself sometimes, but
I don't know. And some of that is like toxic positivity, because like, if you don't feel good about it, you don't feel good about it. And that has a wealth of knowledge and data for you to go into and explore. Like, when I was getting my healing today from my friend, she was like, you know, again, they're telling me that you're too hard on yourself. You're really, really, really hard on yourself. And like, it's hysterical, because it's historical, mm-hmm. you know, like the old shit doesn't go away. It just changes shape, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I remember being younger and like, freaking out about like what to wear and the way I looked and stuff like that. And that has not gone away from me. And because I was having a hissy fit, I totally spiraled about what I look like. And I'm like, I'm so ugly. I need my skin fixed. I'm literally this morning crying to my partner. She was like, you look so depressed. Like, what's the matter? Because I haven't had the chance to talk to her. And I just broke down crying. And I'm like, you have to let me spend money on Fraxel, blah, 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 blah. And I have to fix myself. And I'm like obsessed. Like, it's so things that are so superficial, but I'm like, no, because if I get this, I'll get ahead in my career. If I do this, I'll be one up on this person. And it's like, why do I have to fucking be like that?
Because you're scared. Everything goes back down to fear.
Fucking fear, man. Fear, they say it rears its ugly head, but it has to have a million different. It's like a Bogart.
Yeah,
where it changes Bogart, shape. Yes. Right?
Thank you, Harry Potter, for explaining our lives. Yes, it is a Bogart.
Bogart.
I thought it was a B-O-G-G-A-R-D. Or B-O-G-A-R-T, like Bogart, like Humphrey.
I think it's Bogart.
I don't fucking know. But it's this, whatever, you open up the cabinet and your greatest fear shows up in front of you and it can change.
And if it's a crystal ball, you're a werewolf.
It's not a crystal ball, that was the moon.
No, in the book, I think.
It was the moon, because werewolves are connected to moons.
I know.
His greatest fear was the moon showing up. Because when the moon shows up, then that means he's going to turn into the wolf, and he doesn't want to be the wolf. He wants to stay the man.
I wonder who saw a crystal ball. I feel like somebody did, or maybe just that professor dropped a crystal ball on that evil wolf's head in the book.
I don't remember.
It's fine.
But like, you're not alone though.
You're not alone.
Oh God, let's not start singing.
Do you know that song?
I'm looking forward to the day, to the time when you give zero fucks about what anybody thinks.
I would actually, that would probably be really freeing, I imagine.
It's just a matter of time, though. It's coming. I can feel that for you. It's just a matter of time, because you're going to discover that you're so sick and tired of even wasting the bandwidth to be aware of what somebody else is thinking. And because that's kind of what happened to me. Mm-hmm. And then also with the program I'm in with recovery, it tells me that what somebody else thinks about me is none of my business.
Mm-hmm. But I think it's my business because I get paid by other people.
Like, no, a boss. Even that's none of your business, because you're not supposed to be thinking about what they're thinking. If your boss isn't telling you, then it's none of your business. You know, it's hard because, like, I think especially for women, we pride ourselves in being able to anticipate outcomes. I mean, seriously, from the minute we're born, it's like, okay, don't die. And this is how you don't die. You have to anticipate every situation and make sure you're safe and make sure you've got these safeguards in place and make sure you're prepared. But, like, it's not your job to intuit what your boss is thinking. It's your job to do your job, and based off of the tangible data that you receive from your boss, from your coworkers, and then produce from there.
Yeah.
You know how exhausting it is to try to fucking figure out what's going on in everybody else's fucking mind? And half of them are fucking crazy. So it's like none of our business. And unless it's in fucking writing, what the fuck?
Mm-hmm.
Way too much energy wasted on that.
I know. And I think I'm putting, like, as much as I said, like, before, like, I quit a job and, you know, I'm making way less money. I mean, there's this part of me that's like, you idiot, you fucking idiot. And I'm like, why? It's the same thing with the superficialness. I'm like, and calm down.
Yeah, they're paying you. But you know what? Somebody else will pay you to do it, too. Because seriously, it's not like they're just giving you money. You're earning it.
I am earning.
Slavery's technically illegal in the United States.
I know, but then I have in my head, like, these are the other things I have in my head. It's so competitive. I'm in the most competitive position in my career. I am never going to get a blah, blah, blah. No one else is going to hire me. There's so many people who could do it better than me, and they're hired.
So you know what? Someone, I was on Luxy date, and somebody, apparently there's a bunch of canned messages that you can send to people that you're interested in. I'm just like, this is such bullshit. You know, I'm tired of these canned messages. And one of them was like, where are you most competitive? Or is there a job in your field? Are you very competitive in your field? And I'm like, there is no competition. Like when you get like spiritual, like hashtag spiritual as fuck. When you get spiritual, you realize that there's no such thing as competition. There's room for everybody. Every pot has a lid. You know, everybody has a little corner of the earth for them. And so, okay, you do your time here. It's done. You move on to the next place. You move on to the next opportunity. You're not supposed to stick and stay. And that goes back to whole monogamy. Right? People are so fucking fickle. People are so unaware of how much growth they need to do on a daily basis, how much growth they are doing on a daily, a yearly, monthly basis, that what happens a couple months ago isn't always going to stay relevant a couple months later. And it's the same thing for jobs. Like, seriously, so this is a place where we really do track growth. When your job grows, and you find it's growing out of alignment with you, like, this is what you were telling me. It's like, it's supposed to go away.
Mm-hmm.
You're supposed to say, okay, on to the next.
Yeah, you're right. I did literally say something similar.
You did.
That. But that's the thing. Like, I can say because I know it's right? Other people. But like, when it's me, I'm like, oh.
Well, this is why we're friends. Yeah. So I can throw it right back at you.
What a beautiful mirror you are, Melanie.
Yeah, people are mirrors, I love that. Right? But like, so when you start getting with that truth, like, there is no competition. There's room enough for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
That what people think is none of your fucking business. And you need your precious bandwidth. Precious bandwidth.
Precious bandwidth. Precious bandwidth.
Yeah, you need it, you know, to create and to soothe and all that other stuff. So you don't need to be all up in somebody else's brain pan. Right. Mm-hmm. When you start getting with that and knowing that motherfuckers are fucking wrong. They all have opinions and none of them have to be your truth.
Mm-hmm.
When you get with those three things, you're going to find a new freedom and a new happiness. You are. And it's just a matter of time, but it hasn't logically made sense to you yet. Like, it makes sense to you, but you don't see how that really applies in your life yet.
Yeah, I don't. I don't. It hasn't clicked emotionally for me. But right. I am trying different things. Like today, you know, I used to get up every morning and go for a run. And I was doing so great. And then I got all depressed. And, you know, I've been having trouble. So I've been getting up in the morning. And this morning, I sat on the couch with my coffee. And then I sat, you know, crisscross applesauce. And I just tried to keep my mind blank and meditate and just, like, try to push out, like, okay, I had a thought. Now it needs to, you know what I mean? Now back to blank space. And I really do want to become more spiritual in that way, where I'm more connected with what's out there.
You know, a friend of mine just sent me some breathing practices. And it's actually quite interesting because since I've begun this path, people have said, oh, do you do any breathing practices? Do you do any breathing? Pranayama is a big part of yoga, and I have done it, but I've been actually quite hesitant into getting into a breathing practice. And I wouldn't be surprised if a breathing practice helps you too. So I'm going to do them eventually. I am probably in enough pain.
What does a breathing practice, like, what is, can you give me like your digest? Like what do you do? And do you do that breathing constantly, or you sit for a couple minutes? Like you're doing yoga.
There's so many different methods of pranayama. So one of the major pranayama breath practices is ujjayi breath. And it's kind of like wave breath, where you open up the back of your throat. So you lift your soft palate up, or drop your soft palate. You lift it up, the roof of your mouth lifts up. You put the tip of your tongue at the back of your teeth, and it's kind of open. And as you breathe in through your nose, you can kind of feel it pass through that part of your throat, but it goes into your belly and it comes out. And it's kind of like this.
Do you breathe it out of your mouth?
No, you don't breathe out of your mouth.
Keep your nose in and out through your nose with your mouth, with your tongue like that.
And it's like very open, and it's a very filling breath and a very purging breath. And you're supposed to sink every movement with this breath. So every extension you inhale, every flexion you exhale, every rise you inhale, every depression you exhale. And syncing your movement with that breath is supposed to really enhance your yoga practice.
Wow.
But then there's other breathings like box breathing, which, you know, they say Navy SEALs use, where you inhale for three, you hold for three, you exhale for three, for three, inhale for three, hold for three. I mean, there's counting your breathing, like counting each breath, staying in the numbers. There's, there's, you know, inhaling, holding, and in between the exhale and the hold and the inhale and the hold, that space, that blank space in between is like supposed to be like that sweet spot where your brain is not working or your brain is in a whole nother area. So the ones that she gave me apparently is supposed to help me get into a theta state, which is going to help like with some neurological reconditioning. I don't know. She sent me a bunch of YouTubes. The pain has gotten great enough that I'm willing to look at it, because, you know, being in flight or fight or freeze.
You're going to go on a flight, or are you going to go on a flight?
Yeah.
You're out that door, Mel.
Fight, flight, or freeze. Okay. Because that's one thing I haven't been doing. I have not been freezing. This yesterday and the day before was kind of like a little bit of freeze. But so being in fight, flight, or freeze with my cortisone levels always up in crisis mode all the time, she said that it could be helpful in kind of releasing some of that, just turning me off a little bit. So I'm willing. The pain is great enough. I feel it in my body. Yeah. Feel it in my mind. You know, I feel it in my heart. And the only relief is really like when I'm neck deep in work, connecting with spirit and helping others. Mm-hmm. And it's like, girl, you need to help yourself some more because you feel empty. Mm-hmm. I feel empty.
That's tough.
It's so tough.
You know, you'll fill yourself up again, but damn, it's like a barren desert. Just isn't a good feeling.
Also, you know, what used to fill me up doesn't always do it anymore.
Oh my God. For me, that has changed so much for me. I used to like songs I used to enjoy that I used to feel like so connected to, movies, just poetry, like almost anything you can think of. It just doesn't
feel the same way to me and hit me the same way, but new things do now.
I will tell you this much, that I do need to go back into the practice of not opening up social media first thing in the morning. Like, I cannot get on the phone when I wake up and start scrolling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not good.
I think it's the most dangerous thing especially we can do for TikTok. Ourselves. Yeah.
Because it really gets you into that, like, does something.
And even Instagram. Like, it's just all of it. Like, there's no reason why we should wake up first thing in the morning and see about other people's lives.
Yeah, think about other people. You know what I mean? You should, like, I want to be able to wake up and do my gratitude, stretch, meditate, exercise if I can. If I can't, then just, you know, sit and be calm with my coffee.
I would like that too. Because I, like, whenever anybody says gratitude, for some reason, I go straight to this, like, fuck gratitude. I think it's become weaponized.
Gratitude, yeah, but it does help. Like, when you think about the things you're grateful for, honestly, I was in a group chat on WeChat, maybe. It was like everybody just says what they're grateful for every morning.
Aww.
And I was doing that, and I'm still in the group, but I don't do it anymore because I just don't think about it. And I'm like, it's not a priority for me to, like, be in the group chat. But I am trying to just be with myself more because I feel like that's more what I need to be focused on right now. Like, yes, gratitude, but I need to focus on, like,
I agree. Yeah. Being with myself.
Yeah.
Being okay with being with myself and not hating what I find when I be with myself.
Accepting.
But I also know I need to start asking for more help. That was a messaging that they told me. They're like, you need to ask for more help. You need to ask us for more of what you need. And ask for healings. Ask for help from people.
It's hard. It's hard for me anyway.
It's not an easy thing to do.
And sometimes I don't want to ask for help. I'm just like, just let me fall on my face. I got this. I'll get up.
I'm like, I'll be okay. I'll be okay. I got it. Yeah. I got it. If I'm not okay, it's all my fault. Bye-bye.
Yeah. I'll get over it eventually.
Eventually. Or it'll all work itself out. Yeah. And if it worked this way, this was the way it was supposed to work. Bullshit, bullshit, bullshit. Oh, God. Being spiritual is so stupid sometimes. But it's the only way I know how to be. So I guess I'm going to enjoy being stupid.
Well, I appreciate it. Thank you for sharing it with me.
Thanks. I'm glad you asked. We'd love to hear from you, giving us suggestions on what to talk about, any comments you might have. So please be sure to email us at meganmel@gmail.com. That is MEGGANDMEL at gmail.com. Please, we'd love to hear from you.
And then we just started a Twitter. Oh my God,
did we do an X?
No, we did not do a Twitter. We did an Instagram, and it's Magic Hour MM. All right.
Yeah, it's time.
So over and out.
Over and out. Please, bon voyage.